Hello, this is Ian Berg with the commercial news, dated Wednesday, January 29th, 2020. We'll start today's reading on the front page of the paper with the article, City Might Add Liquor Licenses, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. With no Class B liquor licenses left for wine and beer of the six available in the city, and only two restaurant liquor licenses left of 15 available licenses, city officials could look at expanding the number of licenses in the future. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. told aldermen at Tuesday night's Public Services Committee meeting that they may have to look at our classifications to increase them for additional licenses, such as for restaurants. City officials continue to field phone calls from possible interested restaurants, especially in light of the expected casino. City Clerk Lisa Monson informed the committee that Montana Mike's Steakhouse is the 27th video game license holder in the city of 30 available licenses. In September, the Danville City Council voted to amend city code pertaining to video game licenses and limiting video game licenses to 30. The amendment limited the number of premises that can provide video gaming, and it also put in place a $600 annual video game license fee to be paid to the city. There is a separate video gaming terminal license required from the city, and the establishment also must have a liquor license. In other discussions Tuesday, committee members talked about police calls for service and the police department wanting to recognize citizen volunteers with an award in the future for those helping out in schools, youth, and other programs. The city also saw 60 building fires in 2019, with about $1 million in damages. The majority of calls continue to be medical related. Interim Fire Chief Dan McMasters talked about applying for up to a $400,000 grant, likely to replace air packs. Also going live today is the city's new Report It app for the public to report code enforcement, street, and other issues. It's on the city's website at www.cityofdanville.org to report potholes, tall grass, illegal dumping, and other problems. It replaces the former Our Danville app that the city no longer uses. Geographic Information System, or GIS, Coordinator Adam All gave aldermen a demonstration of the app and explained how city employees can see the reports through email if they are in the field. The public also will be able to check the status of the complaints and reports, and can choose to be contacted by a city employee. "This is wonderful," said Ward 1 Alderwoman Brenda Brown. In the legal report, Corporation Counsel Chuck Mockbee IV said they are getting ready to restart the rental registration program, utilizing legal secretaries more and having people pay at the legal department window instead of with code enforcement. Ward 7 Alderman Steve Foster, with other aldermen approval, also requested an ordinance be brought to the City Council to allow aldermen to vote by phone, such as for a medical absence. The Vermilion County Board already has such an ordinance in place. Ward 2 Alderman Dan Duncan questioned the procedures for closed sessions, where specific employees, real estate, and other items are talked about away from the public. Mockby said he'd look into it. He said he can start preparing an ordinance. Next, we'll go to the article, D118 Board May Hire Math Expert, Auditor, by Carol Rome, Danville. The Danville District 118 School Board has called a special meeting for today to hire a math consultant as well as a district auditor. At the January 15th board meeting, the board approved a district-wide math audit and math instruction improvement plan to ensure students' growth, attainment, rigor, and problem-solving. The recommendations to support student growth included SAT professional development with the DHS Math Department, K-12 support in math planning, professional development regarding math approaches, and strategies within the school day and after-school hours, modeling in the classroom, and refining math scope and sequences. The board adopted the Math Instruction Improvement Plan and will consider approving hiring math consultant Kathy Scheid, who conducted the math audit and outlined the improvement plan, to serve as a district-wide math coach at $1,000 a day. The total cost of consultation will be $23,000 and be paid for with district funds. In addition, the board will consider hiring Clifton Larson Allen LLP at a cost of $44,750, which represents a 1% increase compared to last year, to conduct the district's audit in 2019-2020. Also today, board members will consider approving a new year-long business entrepreneurship class at Danville High School beginning next school year. The entrepreneurship class, which is part of the Career and Technical Education Program's third-year expansion plans, would be for juniors and seniors and include a business incubator. Local business people would be recruited to sit on a board of directors or be part of the instruction themselves. Teams of two or three students would create and fully develop their own product or service in the incubator that they would then present to Shark Tank-like experts. Real-world entrepreneurs and business experts will serve as coaches and mentors to guide students, teams, through the process of ideation, market research, and business plan development. During the course of the class, the student teams will learn about marketing, accounting, human resources, and build upon foundations learned in other classes. The course will culminate with a pitch week, during which student teams would present their business ideas in front of Danville businessmen and women. Todd Birch, who teaches economics and principles of business, would be in charge of the business entrepreneurship class. CTE already has received a grant from Burlington to help fund the startup of the business incubator. And now we'll go to the article. I was ecstatic. Good things come to those who wait for Habitat House, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Families who go through the Habitat for Humanity of Danville application process to be a partner for a home are often appreciative, but sometimes a little overwhelmed. To be honest with you, I almost fainted when it came to waiting on my house to be complete. I almost gave up. Then God gave me a dream and I saw myself in it. That was hope to continue the process. According to Tia Iwandaha, who is working with Habitat for Humanity now on a home for herself and her family at Columbia Street. Awadeha, who works as a secretary at Danville High School, and is participating in a cohort program at Eastern Illinois University to receive her teaching degree, has two adult children, with one away at college, and three still at home. Awadeha stated, after a failed marriage in 2013, that caused her and her children to lose their home, she decided to step out on faith in the earlier parts of 2016 and apply to the Habitat program due to her personal experiences with finding decent and affordable rental properties in and around the area. For the past 6 years, my children and I have resided in a house that was converted to a two-unit duplex many years ago. The unit itself is a three-bedroom that holds a family of five. I created a makeshift room for my youngest child out of a space that was large enough to fit a bed, she says. She continued, because the duplex was originally a house, the gas line and water line were never separated, causing both lines and eventually both utility bills to be shared by the occupants of both units. Thankfully, there has not been another tenant to occupy the other unit since my time being there. Sadly, this setup has caused me to have two separate accounts for my Ameren bill, one for electric and one for gas. The gas bill constitutes as a commercial dwelling because of how the line is shared, even though I'm an occupant in the home. Financially, this has been a strain on me due to the fact that Ameren commercial rates are far greater than their residential rates. Ameren, my landlord, and Habitat for Humanity are all aware of my situation. In addition, there are issues with heating the unit at full capacity. Therefore, I desired something better for myself and my children. Although Awadeha was approved for the Habitat program almost 4 years ago, the process has not been an easy one. At the beginning of the program, she was informed by her Habitat mentor that she had been approved during a time when the program had temporarily ceased building new homes for Habitat partners, but she would be considered for a revitalization or overhaul of a home that not only meets the technical and budget qualifications of the program, but is also based on the needs of her household size. The process was held up due to various reasons, one being finding a house to begin the work. A couple of years ago, Awadeha was driving back from Nashville, Tennessee, after dropping her daughter off at college, when she received the phone call from her mentor that a house had been found on her behalf. I was ecstatic for the great work to begin. I was even more excited to learn that the house that was selected for me would initially have a greater square footage than the one that was built for me. The house also included a two-car garage, which would have not been considered in the original floor plans of a new structured home, she said. It really is a blessing from God. I am so very thankful for all my loving volunteers who have come out over the last several months to assist me in meeting my home sweat equity hours. I still need about 120 more to go to reach my goal, if anyone is willing to help. Awadeha says working with Habitat for Humanity of Danville Executive Director Jonathan Gibson, Site Supervisor Josh Rainey, and her Habitat mentor Kathy Leary has been a pleasure. They are kind, hardworking people who I consider to have a great working relationship with, Awadeha said. Habitat for Humanity of Danville is a nonprofit Christian ministry that seeks to eliminate poverty housing by building or renovating homes for qualified families in the Danville area. We'll now go to the death notices. Judith Yokius, 73, of Danville, died on Friday, January 24, 2020. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. on Thursday at Chapel Mausoleum at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will begin at noon on Thursday at Sunset Funeral Home in Danville. Brian K. Pitchin, 56, of Oakwood, passed away on January 25th. A celebration of Brian's life will be at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, January 29th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Oakwood. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. prior to the service. He will be laid to rest at Oakwood Cemetery. Memorials can be made in his name to the Vermilion County Animal Shelter, or CARA, in Tilton, Illinois. Jacqueline Jackie Lewis, 83, of Danville, passed away on January 26th. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. on Saturday, February 1st, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Danville. Burial will be in Lutheran Cemetery. Visitation will be from 3 to 7 p.m. on Friday, January 31st, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Memorials may be made in Jackie's memory to Trinity Lutheran Church or Amyloidosis Foundation. Aaron R. Cooper, 56, passed away on January 23rd. A memorial visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. on Friday, January 31st, at Southside Church of Christ in Danville. Service will be at 11 a.m. on Friday, January 31st, at Southside Church of Christ in Danville. Donations may be made to the family to help with funeral expenses. David Arthur Doggett, 95, of Danville, passed away on Saturday, January 25th. Visitation will be from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. on Thursday, January 30th, at Kruger Cone Pape Funeral Home in Danville. Service will follow at 11:30 a.m. on Thursday at the funeral home. Entombment will follow at Spring Hill Cemetery, with military honors by American Legion Post 210. Maurice Dion Lewis passed away on January 23rd. A visitation with family and friends will be at 11 a.m. to noon on Friday, January 31st, at Lighthouse World Ministries in Danville, with a memorial service immediately following at noon. Marvin Eugene Laker, 73, of Danville, passed away on Sunday, January 26th. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday, January 31st, at Kruger Cone Pape Funeral Home in Danville. Service will follow at 1 p.m. on Friday at Kruger Cone Pape Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Atherton Cemetery. Katie Jean Lee, 65, of Catlin, Illinois, passed away on Thursday, January 16th. Graveside rites will be at Mount Vernon Cemetery, west of Catlin. Visitation for family and friends will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, January 30th, at Robinson Chapel in Catlin. Memorials in Kathy's memory can be made to the Catlin Rescue or Fairmount Rescue. We'll now return to the front page for the article, Habitat's Super Bowl Marks Its 15th Year, Danville. Habitat for Humanity of Danville's Super Bowl fundraiser is in its 15th year already and has continued to help Habitat provide needed homes for families. This year's Super Bowl 15 will be from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Friday at First Presbyterian Church at 100 North Franklin Street. The cost is $7 per person. Tickets can be purchased ahead of time at the Habitat Restore at 422 North Vermilion Street, or at the door at the day of the event. Takeouts are available. Habitat Executive Director John Gibson said they'll have a variety of soups available, including chili, broccoli cheddar, loaded potato, chicken noodle, and also ham and beans. They also will serve cornbread and a dessert. Drinks will be water, tea, and coffee. It has been successful for us, Gibson said, of the annual event taking place prior to the National Football League's Super Bowl. He said they've been slowly adjusting the event through the years, and have had different partnerships for it. We've had a few more corporate sponsors, he added, about the donation of goods to make it more profitable. Partners for this year for soup and dessert donations include, again, Danville Area Community College, and also Sigma. Gibson said they've also seen a slow increase in attendees. We're very happy with it, he said. The funds raised for the Super Bowl go back to operations. Everything locally goes back into the housing efforts here in Danville, Gibson said. He said their hopes are to finish 3 homes this year. We'd love to be able to do that, he said, adding that they also are looking to partner with others, including faith-based organizations, to make that happen. We made this huge investment with the Restore with the hope of doing more, Gibson added. It has been absolutely wonderful. We have far exceeded our hopes for the first year. Sales and donations have been up. It has been well worth it, he added, of the Restore's new location. Habitat is in the process of rehabilitating a 4-bedroom home in the 700 block of West Columbia Street for homeowner partner Tia Awadeha and her family. This is a new rehab. It's a house Habitat found on the market that needed help, and they've been fixing up, Gibson said. Habitat officials also are making arrangements to purchase one house to fix up, and they also hope to do one more house this year. We wanted to do one more house a year, Gibson said, about normally completing 2 projects annually. We are on pace to do that. Another 2020 highlight for Habitat will be another AmeriCorps group coming to Danville starting this week to help with homes. Gibson said the AmeriCorps team will arrive Thursday and begin assisting with the Super Bowl fundraiser on Friday. The team of 4 women and 6 men will be assisting with construction until March 12th. The team will work primarily on the 711 West Columbia Street house and, hopefully, also will assist with another house. Habitat applied to have an AmeriCorps team again in Danville. A team was last in the city 2 years ago, helping with the new Restore building and assisting the city of Danville with a city-wide public tree inventory. Past teams have worked at Kickapoo State Park and also with Habitat. We want to be able to use the team to full effect. We are optimistic we may be able to do the finishing work on 711 West Columbia, Gibson said, if weather cooperates. The team has come a little earlier this year. This time we are their only sponsor in the city, he said. The team also will complete individual service projects, such as helping other nonprofits and organizations. They would be open to talking with other groups on projects, Gibson said. AmeriCorps National Civilian Community Corps is a unique, highly adventurous branch of AmeriCorps, according to its website. Serving full-time on a team of 18 to 24-year-olds, members travel to the community for 10 months performing a variety of intense multi-week projects. In the traditional NCCC program, members might shelter disaster survivors, build houses, restore the environment, tutor children, and more. In NCCC's Federal Emergency Management Agency Corps program, members support FEMA's disaster responders while gaining skills and connections that could give them an edge towards federal employment. Members receive their initial 3 weeks of training and recharge between projects at one of 5 NCCC campuses in Denver, Colorado, Sacramento, California, Vicksburg, Mississippi, or Vinton, Iowa. A specially trained team leader serves and resides with each team, supervising day and night. For some news in local sports, we'll now head to the article, Danville Boys, Girls, Win at Watsika. Athletes, especially basketball players, have been finding their own ways of honoring former Los Angeles Lakers superstar Kobe Bryant. Bryant, who along with his 13-year-old daughter Gianna Bryant, tragically died in a helicopter crash along with 7 others this past Sunday in California. On Tuesday night, the Danville boys and girls basketball teams didn't necessarily plan an honor for Bryant, who was an author of the book The Mamba Mentality. But with the doubleheader sweep of the Watsika Warriors, each team had a symbolic reference to their former superstar. In the boys' game, Danville claimed a 81-50 victory. The 81 points are equal to the career high for Bryant against the Toronto Raptors in a game played on January 22, 2006. We put 81 up for Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest of all time, said Danville senior forward Robert Stroud. Now, did they really score exactly 81 for Kobe? It was a coincidence, but when we saw the score at the end of the game, we felt it was only appropriate, said Stroud, who had a game-high 18 for the Vikings. And how did the girls do their part? Danville dressed just 8 players. For most of his playing career, Bryant wore the number 8 for the Lakers. And just for good measure, junior guard Aaron Haupt scored a game-high 42 points, which is the other number that Bryant wore, 24 transposed. But ultimately, the most important factor for either team was a win. For the Danville boys, it's just the second win in 12 games since the Pontiac Holiday Tournament, and it snapped a 4-game losing streak. That was very important for us, to get some confidence going, as we have 2 tough teams coming up this weekend, said Stroud, as Danville faced Champaign Centennial at home on Friday night, before traveling to Urbana for a game on Saturday. We wanted to start this week with a win, and get some momentum flowing in our locker room. And the way that the Vikings won on Tuesday night was a step in the right direction. Danville scored 69 points in the final three quarters, after finding itself trailing 13-12 at the end of the first quarter. "I'm glad that we changed the tempo of the game with our defense," said Danville coach Darrell Robinson. "It was important having Devin back in town, and we were able to bring him off the bench. It gave us a boost of energy." The Vikings forced the Warriors into 20 turnovers in those final three quarters, with a combination of a full-court press and a trapping defense. Miles had 5 of Danville's 18 steals in the contest, while sophomore Camarion Hawthorne came off the bench to have a team-high 6 thefts. "That's what I've been telling Camarion," Robinson said. "He can continue to get more and more time with his effort on defense." The other statistic that really caught Robinson's eye on Tuesday night were his team's 19 assists, as junior guard Nathaniel Hoskins had 5 and senior guard Delray Crowder finished with 4. "We are doing a better job of moving the ball and trusting each other," the first-year coach said. "As the season has been progressing, we have been showing that kind of improvement. That number could have even been higher, a little higher, but we had problems finishing here and there." Stroud admits that unselfish play is a carryover from Danville's play this past weekend, where they lost in overtime to state-ranked Peoria Notre Dame and suffered a tough loss to Zion Benton. "We fought to the wire against those two teams, and we are going to continue to play that style of basketball until we get the results we want," he said. "We know that we are down a player, Tevin Smith, but the rest of us have to step up if we are going to do what we want to accomplish this season." Smith has missed the last 14 games with a knee injury. With the time left, we'll now go by the community brief section for some updates on what's going on in the local area. In Danville, memorial planned. A gospel memorial service will begin at 6 p.m. Friday in Mount Olive Baptist Church at 428 North Washington Street in memory of 3 of the 3 Danville men found dead in an Elm Street residence last week. Pastor Frank McCullough said many gospel groups will perform. All are welcome. Lions to meet. Rob Gifford, executive director of the Boys and Girls Club, will speak at noon Thursday to the Lions Club at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main Street. In Bismarck, group to meet. The Bismarck Unit of Home and Community Education will meet at 1:30 p.m. on February 4th in the Bismarck United Methodist Church Annex at 115 South Chicago Avenue. The lesson topic is Communicating with Individuals with Dementia. The public is welcome. Register by calling 757-7237. In Fairmount, bee classes set. Beginning beekeeping workshops will be February 1st at Long Lane Honey Bee Farms. A fee is charged. Go to honeybeesonline.com or call the office at 217-427-2678. And in Oakwood, church serves dinner. Oakwood United Methodist Church, call it an Oakwood Streets, will serve Coach Max the Works spaghetti sauce dinner from 4 to 7 p.m. on Saturday. Proceeds from a free will donation will go to the Appalachia Service Project Group mission trip. That's all the time we have for today. This has been Ian Berg with the commercial news, dated Wednesday, January 29th, 2020. Thanks for joining me today.